104.5 The Zone.
The Orange and White Zone.
Mid-Orange Sunday with former UT coach Doug Matthews. Presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
The Zone.
Good morning and welcome into Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company, always online at franklinamerican.com. If you're looking to buy a new home or to refinance an existing home, Franklin American Mortgage, that's the folks to work with. Again, that's franklinamerican.com, or you can call them at 615-778-1000. Well, it's this Easter morning. We are recording this a couple of days earlier. Again, welcome into the show. And well, we got a lot to talk about today. Of course, spring practice ended 1 week past that. We're going to give it into a few thoughts about that just a little bit later. But the big news this past week has to be Konzo Martin. Konzo Martin leaving to go to the University of California in Berkeley. And who better to talk about that than to bring on our good buddy Bill Justice. Bill, of course, brought to you by England Erosion Seed and Supply, always online at englanderosion.com. Billy, I would, well, let me kind of put it in my words, and then you kind of take over. Kind of surprising, and yet when you sit back and look at it, not really surprising that Konzo Martin has decided to leave the University of Tennessee.
You know, Doug, once the immediate kind of wow, surprise, shock, whatever you want to call it, wears off, this appears to me to maybe be in the best interest of both Coach Martin and the university. We will track closely the search and the hiring of the new coach here, but suffice it to say that there was some unrest. You could tell that there was some interest in doing something else when he went and interviewed for the job at Marquette, when Tennessee didn't step up and throw the extension and the raise out there just immediately, even saying something maybe during the tournament. So from what I hear, one of his big reasons on his decision was out of concern for his family, his wife Roberta and their three children. It had been awfully tough for them, and I think that was one of the major reasons that maybe he was looking to change venues.
Well, I learned a long time ago, whether it is a coach leaving or a prospect that you're recruiting deciding not to come, if you don't want to be someplace or you don't want to go someplace, it's very easy to come up with the reasons why not to. And I think it's pretty safe to say, if you look really at the last couple of years, that there was never, I don't think, Bill, a comfortable feeling from really anybody involved in this whole thing. I don't think the fan base was comfortable, if that's the right word to use. I don't believe Konzo Martin was. I don't believe Dave Hart was. So all in all, I think you're probably right. In the long run, or maybe even the short run, this quite possibly will be good for everybody. Let's kind of get into a little bit of how we kind of got to where we are. A lot of talk, Bill, about the word used a lot is fit. You know, not the right fit. I think sometimes that is overused, but don't know so much in this case. But he followed a high energy, outgoing, big personality in Bruce Pearl. Coach Pearl had turned Thompson Bowling really into an event. People wanted to go there. It was a tough ticket to get. He brought volunteer basketball back to the championship level with a up-tempo game, and in all likelihood, perception of Bruce Pearl was probably a little higher than it really was. But the Tennessee basketball fan, the Tennessee fan base, that going into this thing, they had a perception of what Bruce Pearl was and the facts of what he had done, and that really set a pretty darn high bar for anybody that came in.
Well, the biggest thing, Doug, I think, was it was just an astonishing contrast, and that had to do with personalities. It had to do with style of play. It had to do with promotional desires and abilities. So you went from a dynamic, exciting guy that obviously loved people, loved the microphone, loved to perform, had his team's program to play kind of like his personality was, all over the floor and make it exciting. It became really an entertaining ticket. A school that is known for football, all of a sudden, basketball became very relevant and very important and was a wonderful night out, 2 hours of great entertainment. I said that when I was going to games and saw games like Kansas and Texas come in there and just have sensational crowds and then have a lot of fun. It was entertainment at its best. And Coach Martin plays a different style. His personality is different. There's not a wrong or right here. It was just almost too sharp of a contrast to go from one to the other in one fell swoop. So that was probably the biggest part of it for those fans who were not happy with things. It was just the change in atmosphere and excitement. And, you know, you can't turn around and go backwards. I think that was probably the biggest issue.
All of the things that the fans of Bruce Pearl liked, the personality traits, Konzo Martin had none of those. He wasn't outgoing. And again, you have to be yourself. He was not someone that, on game day in football would be out in the parking lot shaking hands with people, taking pictures with people, you know, kind of raising the expectations for his program. He did not play the up-tempo style game. Not that that's the only one to play. There's a lot of great coaches that don't. But again, kind of coming in, I thought he was kind of behind the eight ball on that. And Bill, some, I think, of national commentators and maybe even some local in the state have kind of made this kind of a personal thing between Coach Martin and the university. I never, ever got that feeling. You were a lot closer, though. I think this, what you said at the start, this was a professional move. I think he probably realized that next year was going to be a team that probably would be struggling to make the Southeastern Conference, to make the NCAAs because of the losses that now include Stokes. It probably all played in there. He saw an opportunity to move on, better himself, in his opinion, and did it. So all in all, I don't think you can argue about that.
No, like I say, I started this conversation. I think once the tidal wave settles down, I think both parties will say, this is okay. This should work out for both parties in a positive way.
All right, let's talk about where you think Coach Hart will look on this. First off, Dave Hart has said, and we have a coaching search for football that we can look back on. Number one, he does not name a committee. It's going to be a committee of one himself. He has full authority to hire whoever he wants to. Certainly the chancellor is going to have to sign off on that. And he will not have a search firm. So he will be doing this pretty much on his own. Again, that's exactly what he did, when he hired Butch Jones. Listen to people, but pretty much did it on his own. Bill, wouldn't you have to think that, and an athletic director's job, that's part of the job description anyway, to be ready. But particularly the way this team was performing in January and February, don't you think he already probably had a list just in case he had to make a move?
Oh, you're just giving me the next thing I was going to say. I had a question to you. Wouldn't you believe that Dave Hart would be on alert 2 months ago? And so already kind of be setting up what his thoughts might be going forward. He, as you said, no search firm. He uses people that he trusts and people he respects, and he reaches out personally to candidates with a track record that are winners and that can recruit and that can hire a good staff. And that might mean a name that we're all familiar with, and we can discuss some of those, or it might mean an assistant coach at one of the Blue Bloods who can recruit. I wouldn't be against that. But that's how he'll go about this search for his coach.
Well, athletic directors, as I mentioned, part of their job description, I don't care whether it's baseball, football, women's basketball, whatever, you always have a list, of people just in case something happens. Somebody leaves, somebody you have to fire, whatever. You always have that list. And I'm sure lately he wasn't figuring he's going to have to get on that list, but he certainly has it, or at least has an assistant athletic director that has kind of checked those things out for him. Bill, here's some traits, though, that I've had enough conversations with Coach Hart to know this. The number one thing, now obviously abiding by the rules and all that, but the number one thing he will look for in a coach is a recruiter. Don't think there's any doubt about that. You look at all the people he interviewed, at least the handful that got into a final interview with him in football, they were all recruiters. And boy, that is a must if you're going to build the program back or continue the program at Tennessee.
No question. That's why I said if you go and look for somebody maybe that is not that big name coach, you go to the really good programs that recruit great players, and you maybe take a look at the assistant coach who heads up recruiting for those teams. And there's no doubt, I've said this a long time, Doug, you and I've had this conversation, football relative to basketball, and in basketball, probably the recruiting is even more clear-cut. Those ratings of players are based on several years of high-level AAU grassroots basketball against the best players in the country. Usually they pan out pretty good. Football is more of a development, I think, with what they have to do physically from being 18 years old and suddenly they're playing against men. But in basketball, it is recruiting, and you have got to go after top-level players to play SEC championship-level basketball.
Bill, interesting, and I might have missed this. I listened to the press conference, and I've read and listened to some of the things that he has said since then. He's kind of given at least an every other day update. I don't know if he will continue to do that, but he has so far. And again, we are taping this, folks, on a Thursday, so for this Easter Sunday, so something might have come up since then. But at this point, let me tell you what I didn't hear him say that I heard him say very clearly and often when he was looking for a head football coach. I don't believe I've heard him say that the next coach has to be a current head football coach. Has he said that? I don't believe I've heard him say that.
No, he has not.
So that would kind of lead into what you said. He's not limiting himself there. And again, basketball is a little bit different. You can, there are a lot of good bench coaches there that can move up, and it'll be interesting. Do you have a feel for that right now, one way or the other?
You know, like I said earlier, he said that he would reach out personally to candidates, and he's looking for someone who is either the head of the program or with a program with a winning track record, good recruiting, and is able to put together a good staff. Doug, one main plus that Tennessee has here in the timing, which is not good because of recruits and prospects and commitments and all of that, and a lot of schools that had vacancies have already filled them. Tennessee, if you look at the landscape in basketball, we are the only major job that's open right now. So whatever field of good candidates is there, they're available to Tennessee, I would think, above and beyond any other school that might be looking for a coach right now. So I think that's an important thing to remember, that if there's a good candidate out there that's looking either to make a change or to make a step in another direction, Tennessee certainly will get a look from those people.
Well, another thing to remember on that, too, is Dave Hart's been an athletic director for, if you go back to East Carolina, I think 20-some years. And then he was, of course, the top assistant at Alabama for several years before he came to Tennessee. He has a lot of contacts. He is a basketball guy as far as he played basketball in college. He has a lot of contacts. You know that he is talking with some of the athletic directors, Bill, who have hired coaches this year, no longer looking. I'm sure he's talking to them about, hey, who did you like? Let me ask you about this guy. You interviewed this guy. What do you think? So I'm sure he is doing that. Let's talk about this. Let's kind of put ourselves in Dave Hart's shoes for a second as you're hiring. We know you want to hire a recruiter. That means you're probably going to hire a guy with a pretty good personality, probably an outgoing coach. Bill, looking at it from his eyes and knowing that he has a 20,000-seat Thompson Bowling that he needs to be able to fill, do you think he will look more for an up-tempo coach a la Bruce Pearl, or do you think he'll just go hire the best coach that he can hire? The easy thing to say is he'll hire the best coach that he can hire, but what are maybe some of the other traits you think he'll probably look for in the next head basketball coach?
Well, I think certainly style of play will factor into it, and whether that would be a deciding factor, I don't know. But I think you can when you look at the 20,000, you mentioned the 20,000 seat arena that is Thompson Bowling, and you got to fill those seats. It's also a major plus. That is with the redo that's been done there. It's just one of the finest basketball arenas that there is, and so most coaches and most players would covet a place to play like that. So I sell that if I'm the athletic director, not as a burden to fill it up, but as a tremendous place to play, just like you would if you were the football coach at 100,000-seat Neyland Stadium. And I go back, and I still think he laid these out, the track record, the renter, the recruiter, and to hire a good staff. There is a long list of names that's already out there, Doug. You've probably heard it. Most of our listeners have heard it. It's all over the place. There's no question that, you know, everybody would like to have Shaka Smart. Greg Marshall's name is at the top of the list. Tennessee has tried in the past, or he was interested in Tennessee the past two times, whether he will be now at when he's at Wichita State, maybe not. Tad Boyle at Colorado, who was a basketball ops guy under Jerry Green, is mentioned. And then some guys that you don't know about, Michael White, Louisiana Tech, plays a great style of basketball, presses man-to-man, fast-paced, double dribble-drive offense, a young guy who's had really quick success there and plays exciting basketball. Ben Howland and Tubby Smith, both veteran winners, supposedly are interested. So he's got a nice long list to look at. I think some of them are not gettable. Rick Byrd's name is on that list again from right here in Belmont. So there's a pretty good list of names there. It's going to be, I'm very interested to see how the search and hiring process ends up.
Well, again, some of it is perception, and I know maybe locally, maybe in the state, or if you're a part of the university, you look at it one way. If you're part of the national media, you look at it another way. All in all, I think the national media has been pretty fair on this. But I will say this. If you're a coach, and I can tell you this from a coaching perspective, looking at it, number one, you have a great place to play. You have outstanding practice facilities. There are probably places that are as good, maybe a little bit better, but certainly it's a top 10 facility place. It's a school that has been around a long time, has a good tradition. It is in a state that has excellent talent, and it's been shown by a couple of three different or four different coaches that you can build a winning program there. Bill, I would think another thing that would have to be attractive to it's going to be attractive to any assistant coach. Let's just put that out there. If you're not a head basketball coach, certainly this is going to be an attractive job. But if you are a head basketball coach at a good job, another thing I think that they will look at is the Southeastern Conference right now.
Absolutely.
Is essentially three, four, maybe five teams that are pretty good basketball programs right now. So that's another thing they'll look at.
One of the things about Tennessee, Doug, is while you can make the case if you're the Kentuckys and Kansas and Duke and North Carolinas that Tennessee lacks a sustained time of basketball success, it is one of the schools that views basketball as very important. The arena, the fan support, the history, a priority on it. You have to place Tennessee in that top three or four schools in terms of priority for basketball in the Southeastern Conference. Any coach that's outside the SEC, Doug, knows how strong the conference is. They know what's coming with the SEC network, and they know that an opportunity to step in and win in a really, really well-respected conference all across the board is available at Tennessee.
All right, we will take a break. When we come back, going to talk to Bill about what this new coach, when he gets here, what he will be having at his the returning players and what he'll be able to count on from a recruiting standpoint. So stay right here with us. We'll be right back on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you as always by Franklin American Mortgage Company, always online at franklinamerican.com.
Complete coverage of University of Tennessee Athletics, Big Orange Sunday, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. We're glad you're with us this Easter Sunday. Again, Bill Justice back for one more segment, and we're talking about, what else, volunteer basketball. Again, this was taped Thursday, excuse me, so there's a couple of days before it has aired this Easter Sunday. Again, we hope you're having a great Easter Sunday and are remembering the reason for the season, as they say. Bill, let's talk about when this new coach gets here. What's he going to find from a returning roster right now?
You know, one of the really interesting things for me, and it would have been the same if Coach Martin had stayed at Tennessee, was with the returning lineup that they have next year, it's a pretty good group of guys for a style of play that would dramatically be different from what Tennessee has run the last couple of years. You know, they lose the two big offensive linemen inside with Stokes and Maimon, so they have a lineup with Richardson and Darius Thompson, Robert Hubbs coming back healthy, Derek Reese, Armani Moore, A.J. Davis. These guys, you know, they're 6'5 to 6'8 or 6'9. They all can run. They can play the full floor. It looks to me like, you know, it's a team that's set to be a little bit faster tempo on both directions. Defensively, extend your defense and press people in the backcourt a little bit. Get the ball down the floor. Try to make the defenders guard you going backwards. Don't play five on five. So the returners, I like the way they look offensively, both in stature and in speed and athleticism. They've got a lot to make up for in power and rebounds on the basket, under the basket. But, you can come in there with a good fast lineup. I think it will require a little faster pace, a much faster pace, really, next year.
Bill, the question, and I don't know if you can answer it, if it has been answered yet. I think the question on most of all fans is this, is Robert Hubbs, exactly what happened to him? Now we know what happened to him, but was he showing that five-star potential that he supposedly had coming in?
Doug, well, the key thing here, Robert Hubbs, his own record is saying he's not leaving. He is coming back to Tennessee because there's some question on, you know, who will be there? Will there be some kids transfer? What's going to happen with the four guys that are committed? But Robert Hubbs is committed. He says, I will be back at Tennessee. His high school performance and AAU performance was every bit good enough to be the five-star recruit that he came out as. He's a good outside shooter. He's a run-and-jump player who can score and who can penetrate and play above the rim. And the answer to the question, did he look that part in the few games he played this year? He did not. He did not have a good shooting percentage from the perimeter. He looked a little bit uncomfortable in the style of play, in the set offense. To me, his skills, again, probably match up better if the tempo is a little bit faster. The guy like that who can blow by you and score going to the rim sets up a little bit easier outside shot if you know he can get by you. So it looks to me like that if they change and play a little more up-tempo that Robert Hubbs will fit that better. He did not look like a guy who was completely comfortable as a college player in the games he played this year.
Billy, what will he play? I'm sure he can play more than one. Is he a 3-4 guy probably?
Probably more of a 3.
Maybe a 2?
Yeah, when you've got Josh Richardson, he's a 2. And so I look at those two guys as very similar. Armani Moore falls in that. Again, you've got three guys. They're all of them 6'5", 6'6". And you have a point guard who's 6'5", in Thompson. And then inside you're going to have long, quick guys like Reese and A.J. Davis. So, again, it's a lot of interchangeable parts there. There's only one guy on there that you don't see stepping out and hitting three-point shots, and that's A.J. Davis. The other guys, even Derek Reese, is a good shooter. So pretty interchangeable in positions, I think, even with Josh Richardson probably being a guy that handles the ball coming down the floor sometimes.
Now, you mentioned Richardson. He really came on the last half of the year, was always or normally always drew a tough or the toughest defensive assignment, but certainly in the NCAA tournament for sure, and a good bit of the SEC tournament, really offensively, really upped his game there. Thompson's another one, Bill. I saw Tennessee two times up in Neyland, once early in the year and once later in the year. He made some really big progress there too. You and I talked about that during the season. I think that was one thing, one area that that Coach Martin really did a good job of, using the bench and also, you know, other ways to kind of motivate, and he grew up a good bit, I think, as the season went on.
He is another young man, Doug, as a true freshman coming in playing the point. That's a big responsibility. That's like starting a freshman quarterback, not quite as tough, but along the same lines. He was a little reticent in some areas. He looked sometimes like he wanted to get the ball out of his hands and just get it to somebody else. He was reluctant to shoot it earlier in the year. He will make big strides from last year to next year. This year and the off season and working with these guys, I would expect that the two most improved guys will be Thompson and Hubbs. For Josh Richardson, he goes into next year, in my opinion, a lock as a preseason first team all Southeastern Conference guy. We're going to talk a little bit, you know, in the next show, our final show, probably on awards and where we think these guys came. But he went from being an emotional defender, and now he's a top offensive weapon, a fully rounded player. It looks like he's ready to be an all-conference player.
Well, it's pretty easy outside looking in to see where the problem, the concern area is going to be. You lose the duo that led the Southeastern Conference in rebounding, did not appear to be any whole lot of depth in that area. Bill, that, I guess, would be the area the most concern right now going into next fall.
It is, and they bring in a couple of 6'8 guys, but they're not necessarily big bangers. They're a little bit more of
Well, you're probably not going to find two guys like that.
No.
That's highly unusual.
It is. I mean, I really don't. Those are Charles Barkley-type guys. I don't really remember Tennessee having a twosome that were both that bulky, that physical, and they were basically back to the basket players. Neither one of them was a great face-up player. And that's just gone away. Tennessee will play a much different post game next year.
As you look at it, other additions, of course, leading scorer is gone. That looks like maybe it'll be minimized a little bit. Surely looks like there's some players up there right now that can play, that can score. Looking for some of these younger, four signees, I think, right now, looking for some of them to come in. And let's just talk real quickly on that. Since they have now signed, no concern there about them not coming to Tennessee. They may decide to not come, but they'd have to lay out a year if they decided to go anywhere else. And be part of that, have you heard anything from any of the recruits that have signed?
Nothing that's negative. There has been nothing that has come out as negative. They got to be waiting. Hey, look, these returning players, the guys that we've just talked about, you know, they're in limbo as well. Who are we going to be playing for? What is the coaching style? I mean, that's got to be nerve-wracking. If you're going into your senior year and you've had the same coach and now all of a sudden you're in limbo and don't know who it's going to be, boy, you just got to put a lot of trust. I'd be in there talking to Dave Hart. I'd be in there. If I was one of these guys, I'd be saying, hey, coach, here's what we need. Go get him. This is what we need as a basketball team. Go get our guy. The four guys they've got a couple of guards and a couple of guys you would figure are swing men or inside guys, 2 6'8" and then two outside guys at 6'1", 6'4". Jordan Cornish, a really good outside shooter, one of the top prospects in the state of Louisiana. Larry Austin from Illinois, a point guard. And then Phil Kofer, who's, as you know, a legacy, Mike Kofer, a great defensive end and linebacker at Tennessee, and later 10 years in the NFL. And C.J. Truman from Georgia, another 6'8", post guy. Probably a swing guy, maybe a swing guy between 3 and 4.
The part of that too, Bill, just about players, and this is just human nature. I very rarely do players leave a program when a coach leaves. Very rarely, occasionally. Very rarely do they, though. Obviously, they want to see who's coming in, but I think it's pretty safe bet. Tennessee's going to get a good basketball coach out of this for the reasons you said. Number one, it's a top 30 paying job. The new coach is going to get somewhere in the $2 million range, again, depending upon his experience. I'm going to be interested to see who all is interested in this, but I think there's going to be a lot more people interested in this job right now than maybe some people think.
Doug, they're already coming forward. I can't tell you who they are, but I know that some of these names we've talked about. I know Ben Howland, for one, has been in contact.
Let's talk a little bit about him. Of course, he was at UCLA. Pitt before that had a great run at Pitt. UCLA started out pretty strong. It ended not quite as strong, though.
Has a success record that's out there, if that's what you're looking for. More experienced coach, a little older than some of these younger guys. Big key for there, of course, he is not in coaching at the minute. He's not out of school, so certainly he is available. Again, the players, like you say, I think the players stand pat. I think they'll be back. I just think there's a lot of curiosity right now as to who our guy is going to be.
Bill? To be continued, right?
Absolutely. It's just a lot of drama at Tennessee over the last couple of years, Doug, as a volunteer guy that's born and raised and went through the system. And you, as a guy who coached there for 12 or 15 years and covered this program for a long time, it seems like just around the corner there's always more drama. I would love to see us be locked in and focused on our football coach and Butch Jones and his staff and to hire a basketball coach that we get some stability and consistent performance and pull the fan base and everybody involved with Tennessee sports back together as one.
Well, in a strange way, I think when it's all said and done, this is going to be a better situation. Remember, this was not Dave Hart's hire. I think, and I'm going to be talking about this probably next week, I think Dave Hart has put some things in place from a structural standpoint in the way they're doing contracts. Now, structuring contracts is going to be a big plus. I don't believe as long as he's there, we're going to have that buyout problem that we have had, either someone buying out from us or us buying out from them. A lot of good things in place there. And, you know, in a strange way, Bill, I think the fact that, as you mentioned, there's only one job out there right now, you're going to find out who's really interested pretty quick, because they're not going to have, they're not going to be, unless they have a job they're going to play that one off of, they're not going to be able to play off being looking at another job at the same time. So all in all, I think this might turn out to be a plus.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if, you know, we only know of a couple. I'd be surprised if Dave Hart has not had a lot of phone calls. I think there are a lot of people that will be interested in this job for all the reasons we've talked about. This is a Tennessee basketball job. Is a really good job. Is it Kentucky or Indiana or Kansas or Duke or North Carolina? No. But I'll tell you what, it is every bit a top 25 job.
Well, I know he's had some phone calls because I got about 8 or 10 buddies over here that would love to help him out in that selection. Now, I don't know that they've had those calls. Well, I do know they haven't had those answers,
yeah.
But, and by the way, that's not including Bill Justice. Billy, have a great Easter, and, we'll talk next week. As Bill mentioned, we normally, there's a couple of things that happen here. First, this Sunday happened to fall on Easter. The season lasted a little bit longer than some of the previous ones had, so we went a little bit longer with Bill. But we're going to talk about that next week. And then until this thing all gets settled, Bill will be a regular on here with us every Sunday. So have a great Easter, buddy. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
All right. Of course, Bill, brought to you each and every week by England Erosion at England Erosion Seed and Supply. If you're a seeding contractor, an excavating contractor, or someone that likes to just get out and toss a little seed around like me, well, go online at englanderosion.com. We'll take a quick break. We're back to talk a little, well, spring football, how things ended up on the hill on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
Complete coverage of the Volunteers
and the entire SEC.
Big Orange Sunday, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Hey, if you're looking to refinance an existing home or looking to buy a new home or maybe somewhere in between, just have questions about the mortgage industry, nobody handles it better than the friendly professionals at Franklin American Mortgage Company. Easy phone number to remember, 615, of course, 778-1000, or you can go on the web at franklinamerican.com. And, of course, Franklin American Mortgage Company is an equal housing lender. All right, I had a couple of good segments with Bill talking about the basketball situation. Again, we will keep you updated on that. Bill will be back each Sunday until, we have a conclusion to that. Just kind of a little addendum on that. I think it'll probably be done pretty quickly. Coach Hart has been moving pretty quickly on this. Again, we recorded this on a Thursday, so if something happened Friday or Saturday before airing it this Easter Sunday, we apologize for that. We'll catch up with it next Sunday on that. But suffice it to say, I think Tennessee's going to end up with a good basketball coach. I really do. Don't know if it's going to be a top assistant, maybe a coach that already has a job, maybe one that's been out for a while. But as Bill mentioned in the I think last segment there has been a lot of interest in this job. All right, let's talk a little bit about spring practice again. 1 week past spring practice. A few thoughts today on exactly after having a week to kind of sit down and look at it, talk to some of the coaches up there. As I mentioned last week, all in all, an excellent spring, and I don't use that word very much, excellent. Certainly the influx of 14 new players, early enrollees, helped this spring a bunch. As I mentioned last week, I don't think there's any question, again, barring health issues, that we're going to have 10 to 11 of those 14 early enrollees. It'll be in the two deep. I think as many as six, maybe even more than that, will end up starting when it's all said and done. That tells you a couple of things. Number one, this is a good group, but the other part of it is, which we've known all along, not a lot of returning talent at the University of Tennessee. Going to be faster, going to be quicker in some areas, offensive line, defensive tackle position, going to be a little bit smaller, but a little bit more mobile, I think. And we will be talking about this in future shows. We're going to see a little different style of offense, going to be the same scheme, and a little bit a different style of defense, or maybe a lot different style of defense. Last year, Coach Jancic on defense was unable to do a lot of things he would like to do simply because of the types of athlete that he had in the defensive front, and in some instances at linebacker. Well, that is changing now. Some of the moves that they made defensively, they're going to get a little bit smaller at tackle, but they're going to be a good bit quicker. I know they'll be a good bit quicker and faster at defensive end, maybe a little bit smaller there. Middle linebacker, we know what that situation is going to be. The outside linebackers, again, we're going to get much more back to the 4-3 look that John Chavis employed and had so much success with for so many years at the University of Tennessee. Faster, quicker, being able to bring people from a lot of different angles. So I think you will see a much different game called by the defensive coordinator when we get into the games next year. Now, most of that's going to be dependent on, well, all of it's going to be dependent on people, but in particular, the man-to-man coverage ability of this secondary. We know we are going to see some changes. The only two players that are safe back there is Randolph at safety and Sutton, Cam Sutton at cornerback. After that, it's kind of a crapshoot. We're going to see a lot of younger players in there. Certainly, Coleman has moved into nickel. He will stay there. I think he will be a very, very good nickel player, much better than he was a cornerback. It looks like Emmanuel Mosley, coming out of spring, a true freshman, is going to have that position. Not a lot of competition coming in there. Certainly, the Payne youngster, DeAndre Payne, who was there, I'm not going to say he had a bad spring because he was a freshman, but did not come along as quickly as they would like. He will have the ability to do that. And everything I'm hearing from Willie Martinez and Coach Jancic up there right now is they will probably start Evan Berry as a cornerback. They think he will be a better strong safety. He's going to be a fine player, safety or free or strong or nickelback, but with the depth that they have coming in there with the Kelly Jr. and with Galden and with McDowell, just to name three, those are three guys that certainly can play the both the safeties and the nickelback. So I think Evan Berry, I know Evan Berry is going to start out there at cornerback. They need another defensive corner that can run. He is tremendously athletic. We will see what happens there. The areas that we're going to get a lot of incoming help are primarily on defense. If you look at the early enrollees, I think there were only three, and I may be one off here, only three offensive signees that did not come in early. All right. Polk and Scott being two of those that did not come in early. And then one of the offensive linemen, depending on who they end up putting there, Richardson or Mosley, whoever ends up there. Wharton, of course, did not come in. I don't know the two guys that I'm not sure where they're going to line up. Wharton, I think he can play either, a wide receiver, that slot. We know he's going to be an excellent returner. I don't know if you've been watching the track meet results, but he is winning almost every track meet he's running in here in Middle Tennessee. Elliott Berry being the other. Think he'll probably start at linebacker, but not quite sure on that. But if you look, most of the freshmen coming in, and of course Weathered, the defensive end slash outside linebacker, will be on the defensive side of the ball. There's going to be a lot of help at safety. As I mentioned, Kelly Jr. and Galden and McDowell, all of those, that would be at nickel too. The two safeties in the nickel position, basically you play the same type of athlete there. As I mentioned, I think Evan Berry will probably start at corner, but all four of those young men going to be back at the in the defensive back area somewhere in one of those five positions back there. At linebacker, Dylan Bates and Bryant coming in. Bates will start at the outside linebacker where Reeves Maben is right now. Bryant will start on the inside, backing up Johnson. If you look at the way they're doing that right now, AJ Johnson, if you're looking at the way they're doing that right now, the fact that they have moved, Jacob Johnson to defensive end, they also have moved, of course, Kurt Majette to defensive end. Now, both of those guys can move back and play linebacker in a three-man front if they decide to do that. But that tells you that they're probably going to have a backup linebacker in there, I would guess. The help coming in, of course, Bates and Bryan at the linebacker position, at the defensive end position, Weathered, Henderson, and Hendricks. And at the defensive tackle position, you have Barnett and Robertson and Sawyers coming in there. Of course, the linebacker and defensive end moves are contingent on Majette and Jacob Johnson being in those two spots. Some talk about Mosley, the offensive line Mosley, or the lineman Mosley that signed starting off on defense. It's my understanding right now that he will start out on offense. And of course, the last guy coming in, or another guy that coming in, Aaron Medley, the kicker, looks like Darhead, from the coach's viewpoint, had a very good spring. I think he is pretty solid in there as punter right now, although Medley will certainly get a look there. They're not so much happy or satisfied or maybe comfortable would be the way to say it of the place kicking and the kickoff and the field goal situation. So Medley will certainly get a look there. Some of the other guys coming in, Scott at running back, a lot of talent there. He will, I would think, get in the picture really quickly, as we talked a lot. That's if there's an easy position to play, learn real quickly, normally it's the running back. None of them are easy, but easier. I think Paulk, in all likelihood, because coming off he did not play all of last year, two freshmen going to be at that running back position anyway, behind Marlon Lane, or with Marlon Lane, I should say. I would suspect that Paulk will probably redshirt, make sure he's 100% healthy. Wharton coming in, as I mentioned, he can play slot. He could play DB, the safeties, and corner. He can be a returner. He can be a coverage guy. From what I've seen of him, as I mentioned last week, I feel strongly he's going to be a player somewhere. I was a secondary coach up there for a couple of years. I would love to have a young man like him back at safety because of his awareness. But again, we'll wait and see on that. As I mentioned, Mosley will be at the offensive line. Elliott Berry, probably outside linebacker, maybe nickel, and maybe some of the coverage teams on that. Now, no help coming next fall. Quarterback, obviously, didn't sign one. Offensive line, who's there is there other than Mosley coming in. Tight end, it kind of is what it is coming out of spring. Looks like two freshmen, Wolf and Helm, and all, will be one and two there in some order, 2-1, 1-2, and wide receiver. Again, the only addition at wide receiver will probably be Wharton if he is that. So that's kind of where we are in spring. After taking a week and kind of looking at it, that's some of the things that I think we're going to be seeing. We're going to have a lot of time to talk about this, and one of the things I'm going to get into is kind of breaking down in the next couple of weeks, next couple of shows, and also we'll do it on my Chalk Talk, looking at, with the addition of the players coming in, how do we think we're going to be from spring? What does that tell us? A big, big plus coming out of spring, I will tell you this, is this. Very few injuries. No serious injuries, even after spring game. That is unusual not to have one or two. We got pretty lucky in that area. So, again, those are some of the things we will be talking about. All right, let's take our last break. We'll come back and end this puppy up. Again, this is Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
He's left the sidelines for the phone lines.
Former UT coordinator Doug Matthews.
Big Orange Sunday, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company. On 104.5 The Zone.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes left in Big Orange Sunday. Of course, we're brought to you each week by Franklin American Mortgage Company, always online at franklinamerican.com, or you can call them at 615-778-1000. Well, the latest Chalk Talk was out this past week. If you want to sign up for it, again, it is a free newsletter that comes out every couple of weeks talking a little about the history of the University of Tennessee football, also kind of looking at where we are right now. The next one will be on spring practice. We'll be discussing that. You can sign up again for a free newsletter simply by going to Doug, D-O-U-G, at DM, like Doug Matthews, dmteamsports.com. Again, that's Doug at dmteamsports.com. Some of the other things coming up, of course, the On the Road with the Governor's Highway Safety Office. We will be doing that, another one of those in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be out somewhere between 20 and 24 weeks between now and the end of next football season, going to, well, a lot of places around the Southeast to have something set up to go to Jacksonville. Going to talk with Coach Dickey down there, maybe Dylan Bates, certainly Bill Bates, who all live down in there, be over and talking to Coach David Cutcliffe at Duke during that period of time also. Of course, Governor's Highway Safety Office always reminds you that, to be a team player. Watch out for your fellow drivers. Make good choices when driving on Tennessee roadways and help your team arrive at their destination safely. That's the Governor Highway Safety Office. Basketball coaching search, of course, we have been talking about that. We will keep you updated. As I mentioned a couple of times during the show, this show was taped on a Thursday before this Easter Sunday. So, hey, maybe as you're listening to that, we already have a head coach. I'm betting not, but if so, we'll talk about him next week with Bill Justice. 2015 and 2016 recruiting, football recruiting ongoing right now. Coaches out on the road. Matter of fact, they'll be here in Middle Tennessee the next a lot of this week. Looks like somewhere 5 to 7 Middle Tennessee recruits that Tennessee will be looking at to sign. I'm going to say when it's all said and done, there'll probably be somewhere between 4 and 6 that Tennessee will be strongly after. So we'll kind of keep you updated on those. As I mentioned last week, with the 32 that was signed this year, some of those were backdated to last year. Tennessee going in the spring kind of thought maybe somewhere 18 to 20. I've been told by a guy that should know that Tennessee will sign 25 next fall. They'll have enough players that will be leaving for that. For the 2015, by the way, that commitment class of 25, 23, 24, 25, I'm assuming that about 3, maybe 4 of those will be junior college players to fill some of the needs. The other will be high school players. About 10 commitments so far, all high school players on that. All right. Hey, for everybody involved, for Franklin American Mortgage Company, Billy Justice, England Erosion Seed and Supply, we appreciate you being part of the show today. Have a great Easter, and we will talk to you next Sunday on Big Orange Sunday, 8 Central. Again, that's Big Orange Sunday, next Sunday, 8 Central. Have a good week.